First John 5, verse 5, the Bible says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." John was inspired by God to write this letter to us, to believers in his present day and into our day. And I can imagine, I just pause for a minute to try to imagine the delight of the earthly authors of God's word. You know, if even they, you know, have the opportunity amidst all the praise that they're doing for our Savior. But I can imagine the delight that it must be for a John or a Ruth or a Samuel, or, you know, to have been able to record the words of God and to be able to see that the word of God is still alive today, still alive today, still blessing people, still helping us to know the heart of God. John stated his mission early in this letter, in chapter number 1, verse 3. I'll just read it to you. It says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." John's mission was to strengthen our faith, to reassure us that which we have committed to is true, and it's reliable. And that the promises that God has made to mankind, every one of them, he has kept. And that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the promises of God. And that through him, through Christ, the whole world can be saved. You know, when the serpent approached Adam and Eve and counterfeited the words of God, it was only the beginning. It really was. The devil has sought out to counterfeit the truth of all of God's creation with his lies. That's his strategy. He's been very convincing. He has been to a lot of people. False prophets have fallen victim to the devil's trickery, even though most of them wouldn't admit it. But they've fallen victim to the devil's trickery. But through false prophecy and these false prophets, a lot of false religions have popped up, and people have been victimized because they have not consulted the Word of God for the Word of God. You hear me?
Amen.
That they have not consulted the Word of God for the Word of God, but they have relied on a man and his interpretation, which is many times based on his desires and his motives. But God's heart is that we know the real God, and that we live in the joy of knowing him and in the joy of knowing his plan for mankind. And you can certainly learn about God from reading books. You can. And there are a lot of books out there, you know. But you will learn the most about God by reading his autobiography.
Amen.
Is reading what he says about himself. In short, God wants us to be his witnesses. That's what he wants. He wants all of us to be his witnesses. Real witnesses to the real God, Jehovah. And he's given us everything that we need to be true witnesses. But it requires a little action on our part. First, we must receive the true witness. And then we must believe it. We must believe the true witness. And those are my 2 points as we explore the topic today. The real witness to Jehovah. The real witness to Jehovah, what does he or she look like? Well, first of all, the real witness to Jehovah receives the true witness. Receives the true witness. Let's review again 1 John 5, verse 9. He says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he testified of his Son. Indeed, we do receive the witness of men. We do. Our court system today is evidence of that. We bring the accused before a judge and a jury, and we hear their case, and we make a determination as to whether they are guilty or innocent of the charges laid against them based on the witnesses that they are able to present. And this pattern was given to us by God Himself in our court system. Our founding fathers, when they designed our court system, they adapted our laws to follow God's law. In America, whether we want to admit it or not, in 2013, was founded on Christian principles. And America was intended to be a Christian nation, regardless of what we have become. That was the intention. But I want to show you an example of how God set the pattern for us to receive the witness of men so that we might understand that the witness of God is a greater one. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy 17. And we'll begin reading at verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning at verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says as it shows us an example as to how we were or are to handle difficult situations, situations where there are some who are accused. Verse 1 says, thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or any ill-favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord. If there be found among you within any of the gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or a woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. Now you see the process of, he says, first you got to hear about it, then it's got to be told of you, then it's got to be determined to be true. You got to inquire diligently, and if it's true, then you're going to handle it. And then verse number 6 says, at the mouth of two witnesses, here's how we receive the testimony of man, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. Now God has given us an example. He says, if you receive the witness of men, how do you do that? He says, first of all, there is an accusation. Then there are those who have witnessed it. And you bring those witnesses together. And then if it is determined to be true, then you bring about judgment. Now I want to show you that God says we don't bring about any sentence without bringing the accused before an accuser. And never will just one witness be sufficient. If you're in Deuteronomy, look at chapter 19, just maybe a couple pages over. Deuteronomy 19, beginning at verse number 15. God confirms that this whole process of determining if the witness of a man is true or not means that we have to have multiple witnesses. In verse number 19 of Deuteronomy 19, the Bible says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, there it is again, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and have testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. God says there has to be a system of receiving the testimonies of men, the witness of men, but not just one man, but it had to be a multitude of witnesses, and not just those witnesses could be held at their word, but it had to be inquired diligently until it was determined to be true. Now, just to nail this point a little bit deeper, and then we'll move on. Look in Numbers chapter 35. Back one book in Numbers. Numbers 35. Just one verse. Verse number 30. Numbers 35, verse 30 says, "Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die." Now, God is establishing this pattern by which he's going to show us his heart over in the New Testament. So he says, if we receive the witness of men, how do we receive the witness of men? By more than one witness, but by the testimony of two and even three witnesses, he says, justice is carried out. But then he goes on in 1 John, he says, all right, now if you receive the witness of men, then the witness of God is greater. The witness of God is greater. Well, you remember what we read earlier. In 1 John chapter 5, God says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. God says, I'm not going to tell you anything by just one witness, but I'm going to bring you not just two witnesses, but I'm going to bring you three witnesses in the person, in the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, the witness of God is greater, he says, for God is greater than man, and he has declared himself to be God, and worthy of all honor and praise. You know, that's one thing that God impresses upon me, that he is showing us that he is greater than any man. He is so much greater than I am that I have to praise him because he is God. And if I have to have any reason other than that, I'll say because he is God. And he has declared himself to be God. And because we believe his word from the beginning to the end, we have to believe what he says about himself. He is God. And his witness is greater than the witness of any man. Look at Isaiah, if you would, very quickly. Isaiah 41. We're going to spend some time today in Isaiah 41 and 42 and 44. But I really recommend that when you go home, you read 41, 42, 43, and 44 at least again. Because it is so good. It will get you so excited about what God says about himself. And what he says about us and his promises. In Isaiah 41, I believe we see that God declares that he is God and that he is greater than man, that he is worthy of all honor, worthy of all praise. He's declared himself to be God, and he's declared that he loves us. He declared that he would send his son and that his son would be the savior of the whole world. And that is the witness of God that he has shown us from beginning even until now. Isaiah 41 explains it even still. Beginning at verse number 10. The Bible says this. Remember what was going on. The children of Israel were a stiff-necked and stubborn people. They just would not do what God had called upon them to do. Yet God gave them chance after chance, time after time, opportunities to repent. He is showing them that they are about to go into captivity, but still they will not completely turn about. But God shows them that if they will ever repent, that he will prove himself to be their great God yet again. In verse number 10, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. He's a strong God, yet he's a compassionate and caring God. And he says, I'm going to hold your hand as you go through the battle. What I love about God is he shows us that he is alive and well. That he is just not some idol that sits and needs to be carried about. But he says, when you're in a difficult time, I will help you. I'll hold your hand. I will show you that I am God. Verse 14, he says, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. And thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. Now here's the compassion of our God. He says, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, he says, and their tongue faileth for thirst, then I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fire tree, and the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. And you know what God now says is, here's what I'm going to do as God. But he says, for those who refuse to believe that I am God, who refuse to accept my witness as God, he says, all right, state your case. Produce your cause, verse 21, he says. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. And you know, when I was reading this again this morning, even I verse number 21 just bounced out at me as something new and refreshing. The children of Israel had determined themselves that they wanted a king like everybody else. And God had granted them the king. Saul was the first. God told them all the things that the king was going to do to them. Yet God, when he told Nathan, the prophet, that when they wanted a king, he said, you know what? They're rebelling against you, not against me. What God told him there is that, you know, here's your king and the king's going to do all these things to you. Yet here we are so many years later, God is saying, I'm the King of Jacob because they're mine and I love them. So he says, anybody who can show that they love these people more than I do, he says, go ahead and state your case. He said, let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Verse 22, let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. He says, this is the way I do things. I'm God. I can tell you things that are going to happen, and I can tell you about them in the past as if they have already happened. He says, show me somebody else who can do that. Verse 23, show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north. Now, I want you to know that God, here's the witness. And if you read too quickly Isaiah 41, then you will miss the promise of God. You will miss the witness and the testimony of God. Here God has declared that he will be their God if they will just call upon him. He says, when you're in difficult times, just call upon me and I'll show you that I'm God. He challenges them. He says, for those who say that they are gods, who have other gods that you should worship above me, he said, let them show themselves and let them prove themselves to be God. But he says, here's the proof that I am God. Here's the proof that I have included you in my plan. He says in verse number 25, and I believe beginning in verse number 25, he is talking about the promise of Christ. He says, I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun, shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar. He says, he will be the King of Kings, is what the Bible is telling us. And as the potter treadeth clay, he says, nothing will be able to withstand him. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know? And before time that we may say, he is righteous. Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. But the witness of God is greater than the witness of men. And what's God's witness? He goes on in verse number 1 of chapter 42. He says, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. That's where God says, no respect to persons. I'm including all of my creation. God says, he will be the second witness. First there's God, and then there's his son. And we know, reading in his word, he says, and when I am gone, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he will come, and he will remind you of all things. He won't contradict me, but he will be my witness. Verse 2, he says, he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth with the word of God. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. God gave him a mission, and he carried it out till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. Who did all these things? Jesus Christ. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Amen. He says, I'm going to give you a greater witness. What's going to be his witness? He says, he's going to come with great power. What kind of power will he come with, God? He said, he's going to come with the power to show you my heart, to open the blind eyes, the Bible says. That's why he's coming. To bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, this is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Is the witness of God greater than the witness of man? Hallelujah, it is. Amen. The witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And if we receive the witness of God, and we do, then we can know that the witness of God is greater. The witness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as God tells us his story from beginning to end. You want to be a real witness to Jehovah? Receive the true witness of God. It's that simple. That's it. Receive the true witness of God. What God has said about himself. Not only must we receive it, but we must also believe the true witness of God. What God tells us about himself. One more time back to 1 John 5, verse number 10 this time. He says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. We know God's witness about himself. Again, he says there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And these three are in agreement. That's what the Bible says. First, we must receive that witness. How? Well, it's through the drawing of the Holy Spirit and by faith in Christ. And then, guys, we got to hold on to that truth. We've got to hold on to it. It's got to become a part of who we are. And it's got to be a non-negotiable part of who we are. We got to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. We're not moving. We're not moving. My faith is not moving. I believe that God is who He said He is. John says that when we believe on the Son of God, then we have the witness. What witness? The witness of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We have that witness in ourselves, in us, because we've accepted and now we believe not only what He says about Himself, but what He says about ourselves. God says He's holy. God says He is righteous. He says He is just. He says He is love. That He is kind. That He is tenderhearted. Then He says that I'm flawed. That my righteousness is like filthy rags. He says that my heart is wicked. And I'm unable to tame it. He says, and I think I know the way. But my way leads away from Him into death. He says that I don't know what love is, and I won't know what love is until I know His love. Amen. And that's who I am. But that's not where He ever designed me to be. And that's not where He wants you and I to stay. And it is the witness of the Holy Spirit, of those three that agree, that we must not only receive, but we must believe it in our hearts. It's got to be engraved in our hearts. The Bible says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of himself. Now certainly the unbelief of man, of a person, does not change the heart of God or the plan of God. But God does not want to leave any person in a state of unbelief. And he certainly will not tolerate any person calling him a liar. Now, I want to take you back to Isaiah 44 this time for a moment. Isaiah 44. God wants us to believe His testimony. He has given us a testimony greater than that of any man. He's given us not only one witness, but the witness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, so that we might believe. Now He shows us in Isaiah 44, still talking to a people who refused to be obedient and to do what He's saying. In Isaiah 44, let's begin at verse number 1. I want to show you. He says, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. That's like a term of endearment for Israel. He says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. And God is talking about, He's talking about His heart towards His people. He's talking about, if you will just believe in me, what I will do for you. And He says, once we grab onto, once we get the heart of God, He says, it's going to change everything that there is about us. Look what He says. He says, verse 5, one shall say, I am the Lord's. That's a declaration that I'm so in love with God and He is so in love with me. He says, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. He says they will mark themselves as being the children of God. Verse 6, he says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Amen. And who as I shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. He says he's so much God that if there were another God, he'd most certainly know about it. And there isn't. But in John, we read that if we don't believe the witness of God, if we decide that we don't believe on the Son of God, then we're calling God a liar. And I think here in Isaiah, beginning at verse number 9, we're introduced to some liars. Those who refuse to believe. The Bible says, beginning in verse 9, he says, they that make a graven image are all of them vanity. And their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. You know, that's a dangerous place to be. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He says right here, they're their own witnesses. He says, the testimony of man is the only one that they want to hear about. They are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. Now, what God is saying there is, you can band yourself with a bunch of people who don't believe in the word of God, and all you are is band with a bunch of people who ought to be ashamed of themselves and people who are following after their own way. He says, just because it's a crowd and just because there's a cross doesn't mean that it's serving God. Y'all hear me? That's what the Bible says. Now, he says they're all going to be ashamed. Now, verse number 12 says, the smith with the tongues both worketh in the coals and fashioneth it with hammers and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and is faint. In other words, he's making his God, but who's meeting his needs? No one. He said, the carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it with a line. He fitteth it with planes. He marketh it out with the compass and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. Because it can't move on its own. He says, he heweth down him down cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. They're their own witnesses. God says, what a shame. And look at verse 18. He says, they have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted and eaten. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside. He's a liar. Amen. And he cannot deliver his soul. Nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. and to show you that He is God and how important it is that we believe on Him. He says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. That's the heart of God. That ought to be a non-negotiable for us, that we believe on Him like He believes in us. Now, we have an individual responsibility to believe the true witness of God and to be a real witness, regardless of what others might say to us, regardless of what they might say about us, regardless of what they might do to us, say to us, regardless of what they might exclude us from. We must be true witnesses to what we know is true. We got to be. We got to be witnesses to what we know is true, the Word and the person of God. Now, I'll show you how Jesus said the exact same point so that you don't think I'm just making it up. Look in John chapter 15. Jesus said the same thing. You have a personal responsibility to decide that you're going to follow me.
Amen.
In John 15, beginning at verse number 18, he said this. He says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world, then the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, then they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me, because they don't understand, because they're liars, because they don't believe in the witness of God, because they do not have the Son and they do not have life. Verse 22, he says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, they've heard the gospel. They've heard the truth. Now they cannot hide behind their sin. He said, he that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father, the two witnesses. And they rather receive the witness of men. He said, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, there's that third witness, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. He shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. He's talking about how to be a witness. A real witness for the true Jehovah, our God, the God of the Bible. I like the way John put it. One more time in your bulletin, verse 10, he said, he that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is a simple message. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that believes in what God says, he hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know, God has not hidden the real Jehovah from us, which makes it even more amazing that there are some who call themselves his witnesses but don't know his Son. But God has not hidden the real Jehovah from us, nor has he hidden how we might be true witnesses to him. But he has given us his holy plan in his holy word, and he calls on us lovingly to walk in that light. He calls on us lovingly to walk in that light. And he has declared in his word that he has followed the pattern that he laid down for man. that there we would not believe one witness, but we should certainly believe the true witness of two or even three. And he says, if it works for man, then imagine how dependable it is when that same pattern is followed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by God the Father, and by His Holy Spirit. Let's close out in Revelation 1, if you don't mind. Revelation 1, God declares the same message. God gave to John this great revelation, showing him of things to come. And he recorded it for us, for our learning, so that our hearts might be in tune with the heart of God. Revelation 1, verse 1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he has sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. In other words, God has not hidden his plan, but he is making it available to us. He says, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We got to believe it, and believing it has got to be non-negotiable. He says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. They're the three witnesses. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, he says, and from Jesus Christ, who is, I like this big word that's next, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know what? I'm a witness to the King, Jehovah God. And I believe what he says, and I will do what he says. And I know that based on my faith in the finished work of Christ, that I have the Son, and therefore I have God's eternal life. Amen,
amen.
And amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us the keys to your kingdom, that you have showed us your heart, that you have showed us how that we might be truly witnesses to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to Jehovah himself. That the witness is one that we can depend upon, that we can believe in, the witness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and that when Christ died on that cross, it was enough to cleanse us, Lord, from all of our sins, from all of our unrighteousness. And it was through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we have been made whole. Thank you that you made it possible that we might have the Son and that we might have life, life everlasting, Lord, I pray. We pray for those who are without Christ, those who are still calling God a liar. Lord, I pray that you would show them the error of their ways. Take off the blinders so that those who don't understand might understand your great love for them, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.